Hi, and welcome to Sybil's Book Club on BlackAmericaWeb.com. I am Sybil Wilkes of the Tom Joyner Morning Show, and it gives me great pleasure to talk to a woman of whom I am a major fan. She is the one and only Pearl Clegg, and she has written a new book, Things I Should Have Told My Daughter, Lies, Lessons, and Love Affairs. Hello, Pearl.
Hi, Sybil. How you doing?
I am wonderful. As I said before, it's been much too long since I've had the opportunity to talk to you. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
The last time I saw and spoke to you, Pearl, we did a book club in South Carolina for the book I Wish I Had a Red Dress. And I got to tell you, I never put a red dress on without thinking about you.
Oh, thank you. You know, I'm still looking for that red dress. I cannot find a perfect red dress, so I'm looking. I'm still looking.
And that's what life is all about.
Looking for that dress. I know that's right.
Pearl, tell me how this book came about. I think it's a fascinating story and also a very interesting match for mothers and daughters everywhere.
Well, I have been keeping journals my whole life. I mean, since I was 11 years old.
Mm.
And I have boxes and boxes of notebooks and all of that. And I said to my daughter, who had had a daughter, her daughter was 3 at the time.
Mm.
And I said to my daughter, when Chloe gets to be 16, I want to give her all these journals because I think it would be, you know, just interesting for her to see the journey of a woman trying to get free and trying to do the right thing and all of that. And my daughter said, absolutely not. I mean, she didn't even hesitate. So I said, what do you mean? Absolutely not. And she said, she doesn't need to know all that. So I said, what do you mean all that? And she said, Mom, I was there. Like, I knew what all that meant.
Uh-huh.
So that seemed kind of like better to change the subject. But it kind of hurt my feelings because I had been thinking that this would be a real gift to my granddaughter to just show her the struggles that you go through, but also that if you keep with it, you end up free at the end.
Mm.
So that kind of started me to look at the journals because I wanted to know if I was right, that there was something valuable there, or if my daughter was right and I should just burn them up and be done with it. So I read a bunch of them and I narrowed it down to the 1970s and 80s that I thought would be the ones that I should pull from.
Mm-hmm.
And I think after I kind of went through everything, I think I'm right, although I think my daughter was right about one thing, which is there's probably some stuff you don't need to know about your grandmother until much later in your life.
So maybe not 16, maybe a little bit later.
Maybe not 16, maybe 30, maybe 35.
You know, I just love the fact that you wanted to share these stories with your daughter and your granddaughter, and it made me really wish that my mother had done the same thing, and my mom's been deceased for over 20 years now, but it just made me want to have discussions or to read those words of hers from when she was going through some things perhaps that were the same, or if not the same, similar to what I was going through.
I think it's so important, and I think one of the things that actually made me start really thinking about publishing some of the journals was that young women will encounter me now in my 60s, and they are going through what you go through in your 20s, going through what you go through in your 30s,
mm-hmm.
which is usually a lot of messiness.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to figure out what to do. You're trying to figure out what your truth is. You're trying to figure out what kind of romantic relationships you want to have in your life. And they would come to me, and they were so kind of just distressed because their lives didn't seem to be as well organized and serene as mine is. Now, let's just say for the record that from the outside, they were seeing serene and well organized, but I'm as messy as ever, but just different. You're different as you get older. You know what's important. You kind of can let some of that other stuff go. But when I would say to them, you know, don't worry about it. Just keep putting one foot in front of the other. You can figure this out. The main thing is to figure out what the truth is and then stick to that. Tell the truth. But it was really, I think, that same impetus that you're talking about where you have an image of your mother. You have an image of writers or
mm-hmm.
other older women that you admire. And sometimes those of us who are in those positions don't really tell the truth to young women. We make them believe that we are as wise and serene as they think we are.
And together
than,
and all of, never
right.
had
and
any of those periods.
Fair. Yeah. It puts an undue burden on them. And I think it's much more helpful to say, no, we are all on this journey. We are all trying to figure out how to be free women. And I think if you share with them the struggles that we've been through, I think it really makes a difference to them and they can, you know, maybe relax a little bit and not be quite so hard on themselves.
We are talking to the best-selling author and playwright. She's a feminist. She's a humanitarian of great note and warm heart. Her name is Pearl Clegg, and she has given us a new book, and it is a collection of her journal entries over the years, Things I Should Have Told My Daughter. What's the most important thing that you would hope that your daughter and other young women would get out of this?
I think that that the truth is at the heart of everything good that happens to us. I think that as women, we still have a tendency to feel like there's situations where it's better for us to lie. We're trained not to hurt people's feelings. We're trained to try to use, you know, what people used to call feminine wiles to get what we want. And that always leads to disaster, because the main thing I think that I would want young women, old women, everybody to really know is that the thing that really gets you through those hard times, I think, is a commitment to the truth. And sometimes it's hard to tell it, and sometimes it's very hard to hear it. But I think it's always easier than that lie that we think is going to get us over a hard moment, because it never does. It always comes back to bite you. So if people get anything from this book, I think it is that it's better to tell the truth. And I had to ask myself that question, you know, when I said, okay, I really think this would be a good idea to publish these journals. You know, when you start looking at your personal life, you say, okay, now, do I really want to say exactly what happened? Or do I want to clean up 1982 just a little bit? Do I want to, like, not really tell what happened with this guy or that person, you know, in 1978? But I think if you're not going to do it, you should just keep writing fiction. But if you decide to do it, you have to be rigorous with yourself. If you believe in the truth, and I do, then you have to say, okay, then I'm going to tell it, even when it's warts and all, even when there are some things that you did when you were 25 or 35 that are not the things that you would do now, are not the choices you would make now. It's really important to go ahead and talk about yourself in a real way, and to let people glimpse the struggle that you went through to get to the place where you can say, no, I don't lie. I don't care what the situation is. I know the only bad times I've ever had have been because I didn't tell the truth.
Wow. What's the most important truth that you had to come to terms with?
Wow, the most important one. I think they're all important, but I think the most important one
or more,
is that,
was there a more difficult one than others?
I think probably the willingness to lie to people to please them, the idea that other people's opinions of me were more important than my own knowledge of myself. And I think that was across the board with people that I loved, with people that I worked for, all of that. So I think the most important thing was to actually know that whatever I was good enough for whatever that situation was, because that was me. So that even if you pretend to be somebody else, that's never going to be able to sustain itself, because it always comes back around to you. So that I really think had to accept who I was, what I was trying to do, what I believed. And then once you start, it's like a little bit at a time, but you get to the place where you realize that the beauty of it and the absolute dazzling, incredible thing that you have is you, because there isn't anybody else like you making those choices, making those decisions, struggling through those things. And once I got there, it kind of made me be not only not so hard on myself, but not so hard on other people, because I understand we're all trying to do that. We're all trying to move forward in the best possible way.
Wow. I hope that young women especially are listening to this and going to pick up your book, because this book, as I was reading it, I was having a discussion with a young woman who's in the middle of a difficult romance, and we were having these questions and answer periods, and I was asking her questions, and she was giving me what she thought were the answers that I wanted to hear. And I said, you've got to read this book, because it really does talk to us about being good enough and feeling as though we are, you know, are worthy of someone else's love, when not looking at it the other way around, and whether they're worthy of ours, and coming together in these answers. And I hope that young women and men are reading this book and getting some of that, and understanding that so many of us are on that path still, but that you are giving us a look into yourself, which is so honest. And
I'm so happy that you said that about men as well, because it's the when I first started living with the man that I've married, my husband now, Zarin Burnett, I had journals all over the place, and I was going out of town for 3 weeks. And I know myself, if I was living with somebody that I loved and they had journals and they were gone, I would have to read them. So I said to him, you know, you can read all of these or none of them, but I want you to know that, you know, I love you. I don't want to have any secrets between us about who I am, what I am, any of that. So you can read them if you want to, but the only rule is you can't ask me questions when I get back, like, what was that on page 202 or any of that? But you can read them. And when I came back, he had read all of them, every single one. And so he didn't have any questions because that was the rule. But I said to him, well, overall, what did you think? And he said, what I think is men don't know a damn thing about women. And I thought that was so true, that oftentimes men don't know us because we don't let them know us. You know, we don't let them see who we are. And the fact that he finished and said, you know, I thought I understood, but I really don't, made me very happy. And it made him, I think, a much better listener, not only to me, but to women, because he understood that a lot of what men bring is just a lack of information because we're not brave enough to show them ourselves. And I think when we do, it changes everything. I mean, I've never had a better relationship than this one because there's no lies between us.
You guys, and I'm talking about you and your husband, have a wonderful relationship, which is evidenced in your journal entries. But the one that you close the book out is his oath and pledge from the grave.
Is that fabulous or what?
Oh, my gosh.
And he still does all of that. He still conveys all of that to me. It's just, you know, that's what a friend of mine called up and said. He has really ruined it now because we keep walking up to our husband and saying, okay, I want this. I want this. But it was such a wonderful, heartfelt expression of not only the fact that he loved me, but that he was prepared to really continue to be on that path we were on. And he has been able to do that. So it's just really been lovely. And I asked him when I knew I was going to do the book, I said, I know this is such a personal thing. You know, can I publish this pledge of great love that you wrote for me? Mm-hmm. And he didn't even hesitate. He said, of course you can.
Oh my gosh. It brought tears to my eyes. It's like jazz, you know, the way that you guys back and forth and whatever it is, that magic that you have, it really is inspirational for those of us still looking for that, but it is beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
It really
thank
is you. Beautiful. What's next for Pearl Clegg?
Well, I'm actually the playwright in residence at the Alliance Theater in Atlanta, and I'm working on a new play. Actually, my first one I've ever tried to write for young people. I have a grandson now who's 12 years old, and I want to write something for middle school age students. So I'm writing a play for middle school because I want my grandson to continue to come to the theater. And last time I took him, he was like, okay, I love coming out with you, but I'm a little old for Charlotte's Web. I need something else, Granny. I need something better than this. So it was like, I said, okay, well, then I'm going to write a play for you. So I'm interested in seeing if I can figure out a way to talk to 12 and 13 year old kids, which is another language altogether.
Isn't that
but
the
it's,
truth?
It's very interesting, and it's going well. So I'm writing a play for Michael.
Well, the language, whatever language you write in, Pearl Clegg, is magical for me. I tried to see your play last year at the Alliance and couldn't get tickets when I was in Atlanta.
Well, let me just tell you, next time you're ever trying to see a play of mine and can't get tickets, call me. I know the playwright. I can get you in.
I am such I can't tell you enough. I am such a fan, and I wish one time we could get you on the ship and do the book club on the Tom Joyner Fantastic Voyage. I know, you know, how things are, but I just love you to death. I love the way you write it. It is pure poetry and magic for me.
Reading
the
so
words
much.
Of Pearl Clegg. It really is.
Thank
it's,
you
it's
so much.
Always a pleasure to talk to you. It's been much too long, but I hope we won't wait as long till next time.
Absolutely. I'll hold you to it. Thanks so much, Sybil.
Thank you, Pearl Clegg. She has written a wonderful book. She's put together all of her journal entries, many of them, Things I Should Have Told My Daughter, Lies, Lessons, and Love Affairs. It's the one and only, the wonderful Pearl Clegg, and I hope that you'll pick it up. And I want to thank Pearl Clegg once again for joining us here on Sybil's Book Club on BlackAmericaWeb.com.